send me two words that has had ramifications that have reverberated for generations, centuries. Two words that I pray that you would ask God, or you would tell God, send me. Two words that in my heart I have said to God myself, I want you to send me. When I was younger, I tried everything that I could to get out of my neighborhood. I grew up in Rexdale, one of the more interesting places to live in Toronto. And I'd done a lot, and I saw a lot, and I felt a lot. And there came a time where I realized that my future was not there. If for me to get up and to get out, I had to do some things differently. So I focused on my education. I focused on playing sports. I focused on business. But none of those things got me out. It's when I found Christ that I got out. Surprisingly, the ministry that God has given to me has me right back there doing work. And the love that I had growing up has only increased over the years. But there's an account in the Bible that I would like you to read after this short message here on Selah. It's found in Isaiah chapter 6. It's a very, very simple account. In a nutshell, it begins by stating that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above him stood seraphims. Each had six wings. With twine he covered his face. With twine he covered his feet. With twine he did fly. And one cried unto the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having live coals in his hand, which he had taken with the thongs from the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, thou hast touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and whom shall go for us? And then said I, Here I am, send me. I remember the first time I read that. Has to be about 20 years ago or so. My heart was moved. It was like I understood what the prophet Isaiah was going through. His eyes were open to a whole nother universe, a whole nother way. He's in the presence of God. He's seeing angels. And the moment he sees the holiness and he hears the holiness, he recognizes how unclean he is. And this is a good thing for our hearts. When we recognize that regardless of our degrees, our education, our miseducation, our postal code, the money that we make, whatever, when we recognize that compared to holy God, we are dirty. We are not good. And we're certainly not good enough to say to God, I'm the man. Look at me. I've accomplished this. That's a good place. It implies that you're humble, and it implies that you have a realistic understanding of where you are in this whole totem pole of life. Second thing, what I love about it was this, that he wanted to serve God. That's where I am. I just want to serve God. I want to please him. I want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I'm not chasing fame or fortune. I just want to be where God wants me to be. I want to marry who God wants me to marry. I want to raise the children that God wants me to raise. I want to be in the church that God wants me to be in the church. I want to do whatever business He wants me to do. Whatever He wants me to do, I want to do that. Why? Because I've learned that if you do it your own way, if you make your name great, you got to keep it great. If you find yourself in a situation where you want to be, God says, all right, if you want it, then you have to maintain it. We can't maintain these things. And Isaiah's, his heart, when his sin and his iniquity were purged, his heart was like, just send me. I wanna serve you. And I don't see this a lot in the church nowadays. I don't see a lot of people just trying to serve God. I see a lot of people trying to get money from God. I've been having a battle for about 8 years when it comes to worship leaders. I mean, I know some talented people. Talented. They can sing the national anthem and give you goosebumps. They're gifted. But a few years ago, I noticed that they were all asking for our tithe and our offering for the month to come in to entertain the church. And I was like, nah, we don't roll like that. One, we don't have it. Two, that's crazy. And three, what about serving? What about just the gift giver wants you to worship, to lead? I saw the shift and my heart broke. Because, well, one, my church has suffered because we are unable to get people to come in and to stay just to worship because they're looking for a paycheck. I understand that. But there's something inherently wrong when God's children just doesn't want to serve. Forget worship leaders. Just look at the congregation. How many lawyers and doctors and teachers and retired teachers and bakers and nurses and all these talents and experience that people have accumulated over a lifetime of living now sitting, saying amen and hallelujah, but are unwilling to go into the community, to even hand out flyers, to even say, hey, you know, I know how to face paint. Let's put something together. Let me just serve. And that's what I love about Isaiah. He understood it. He wasn't just happy for being cleansed, from being purged. He heard the cry, and he said, Lord, send me. And that's where I am. I want to use every ounce of wisdom God has given to me. Everything that I could do to make a difference, I want to do it. I want God to use me. I want God to send me. I want to make a difference. I remember I told a pastor a few years ago, and he laughed at me. He thought I was just talking smack. I said, my goal is to see 1 billion people saved, baptized, and filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what I want my legacy to be. Reggie, I can't even count to 1 billion, but I had a thought one day. I said, if I just do what God wants me to do, I don't know what the seeds that I'm sowing, how they're going to reverberate over history. It's like when you look at an apple tree. You can count how many apples are on a tree, but you cannot count how many apples, trees, are inside an apple. Because you don't know how many trees and how many apples those seeds are going to produce. You don't know that. God knows that, but you don't know that. So my job is just to utilize everything God has given to me. Every idea that I have to win souls, to expand the kingdom, to be salt and light, to make sure that I am someone that is respectable and honest and make sure that I'm faithful to God, I'm faithful to my family, making sure that the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, making sure that all these things are taken care of, and just believing that God is going to multiply those seeds and bless those seeds, whether it be my children, whether it be this message. I was blessed from a pastor who's been in heaven for maybe about 20 years now. I heard his message, and it blessed my heart. In fact, there's a pastor that I listen to once in a while, Dr. J. Vernon McGee. You need to hear his Sunday sermons. They are amazing. I haven't heard one of his Sunday sermons that are just not amazing. And I think I've heard maybe about 25. It's just amazing, amazing messages. In fact, I utilize them when I just need some motivation, or I just need a little extra up, and I want to hear someone who's not tainted by the materialism of this world and not trying to call himself or herself a bishop or apostle or president, whatever. You know what I'm saying. In conclusion, and this is real talk, why don't you give God your life? Why don't you utilize your gift, your talent, the thing that you can do better than other things? I mean, if your gift is cleaning, isn't there someone's home you can clean free of charge? If you are a communicator or a great listener, isn't there someone you can invite out to a coffee shop like where I am right now? And just listen to them. If you're an encourager, encourage. If you're a baker, bake. There are things we can do, because that's when change happens. But I found, and this is true, that whenever people are doing their part and we come together, amazing things happen. Like we say in our church, eyes become forever open, and hearts become forever changed. So let me conclude by saying this. I'm reading this again. And he laid on my mouth and said, lo, thou hast touched thy lips, thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sins have been purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and whom shall go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. God bless you. Bye for now.